Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
If you got a Bible, let's grab it. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to be today. We are in a summer-long journey through the Sermon on the Mount, which is the best sermon ever given by Jesus himself. And today we find ourselves at a very unique passage because the Bible speaks here about a spiritual discipline that is very easy to neglect. That's right, we're talking about fasting. Now, sometimes people don't want to come to church, especially when you talk about giving. This is another one of those in that same realm where as soon as you begin to speak about fasting, you think, man, I don't know, that's a tough, tough pill to swallow. No pun intended right there. But this is something that's incredibly difficult and yet incredibly rewarding. Today, we're going to speak about fasting from the Word of God right now. Let's dive into it. Lord Jesus, we trust you to speak to us now about this spiritual discipline, a spiritual discipline of fasting. Would you speak to our hearts? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Cross Church Fayetteville, and welcome to all of you that are also joining us via the web. It is an extraordinary privilege. It is a great blessing to be able to come and to be with you. And it's a great responsibility God has entrusted to me today. And I hope that you will pray for us along the way and hear what the Spirit of God is doing in your life and in the church that you are a part of today. Now, on this first weekend of July, we are continuing the summer series called Best Sermon Ever, which is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that is found in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. Ironically, on this weekend that abounds with feasting, I have been assigned the subject of fasting. Here we are on the 248th anniversary of the United States of America when people are eating and feasting, and I've been assigned this subject. But I'm reminded of something that is found over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says there is a season for everything. And that means that there are seasons for feasting, just like right now. And there are also seasons, even if you've never observed them, perhaps you will, for a day or days of fasting. Now, I realize that fasting is not a subject that gets talked about very much at all. In fact, quite honestly, it is rare that it is ever preached in the pulpits across America. Sad to say. I do want to just reflect upon the Old Testament for a moment. Do you know the Old Testament teaches us that God commanded the Jewish people to fast one day a year on the Day of Atonement? Now, there would be other calls to fast, but there was that one day a year they were all commanded to fast before the Lord. And then in the New Testament, there's a group called the Pharisees, and they were a strict religious sect at that time. In fact, they're even referred to in the passage today as hypocrites, but they fasted 2 days a week. So fasting is real, and it does have a place. So the subject this morning is fasting. The passage is Matthew chapter 6, verse number 16 through verse number 18. I hope you'll have a copy of God's Word before you, whether it's in the printed edition or on an e-device, but I hope that you will follow me along right now. If you do not, look at the screens. Jesus said, remember, they're now in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He said, now, whenever you fast, do not make a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they distort their faces so that they will be noticed by people when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But notice something here in verse 17. In verse 16, he refers to those who fast like hypocrites. They want to be noticed by other people. But then Jesus says, that's them. But look what he does in that next verse. But as for you, meaning for you, it's different. For you, there is a better way. Aren't you glad God always gives us a better way? But as for you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Verse 18, so that your fasting will not be noticed by people, but by your Father who is in secret. And please notice this next phrase, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, Lord, we pray for illumination for this text today. We pray that you would appropriate it, make it suitable for everyone's life at whatever level they are, and however you want the Spirit of God to be heard to the church today, we pray, speak, Lord, we are listening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed this about prayer? Prayer's a mystery. It really is. For some of you who have walked with the Lord for years, you know what I'm saying is so true. It's a mystery. We always do not understand why this prayer gets answered and this one doesn't, or why this person gets healed and this person doesn't get healed until they get to heaven. But prayer is a mystery. You see, prayer is a conversation with God. Prayer is a conversation where you talk to God, but God also talks to you. It's two-way communication. Are you saying, Ronnie, you mean God calls you up on the mobile device and says, hey, this is God? No. But God does speak to me through the Bible. That's the way God speaks to us. The reason we need to read the Bible is that that is God's word to us. It is God's love letter to us. Every bit of it from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse of the book of Revelation. Well, in all this, while we understand that about prayer, we have to ask ourselves, then what is fasting? For almost 30 years, I have used this definition and I created it, and I believe deeply it is exactly what the Scripture teaches even after all these years. What is prayer? Or excuse me, what is fasting? Fasting is abstinence from food with a spiritual goal in mind. It is when you abstain from the most natural thing you do. You know what the most natural thing you do is? Eat. How many of y'all like to eat? We all love to eat, right? I mentioned the word eat, and some of you already think about what I'm going to have for lunch or where we're going for lunch. Okay, that's fine. That's what your God made you that way. You want to eat because it nourishes you. But obviously, in Jesus's understanding, he wants us to also understand that while there are times of eating, there may be a time when he wants us to come alongside of him and fast, abstain from food with a spiritual goal in mind. It is like, for example, let's say you are sick and you need to be healed. That would be your spiritual goal, praying for healing. Or maybe you need a financial breakthrough. Or maybe you need a career opportunity. Or whatever the situation would be. a child away from God, a dad that needs Christ, whatever it may be. Those are spiritual goals, whatever they may appear to be at the time. Now, many of you are not really aware of me that much, and that's great because many of you were not even here a few years ago when I was pastor, and that's the way it ought to be because, I mean, you know, the church has grown enormously here at our Fayetteville campus, and I rejoice greatly in all that. But I have practiced fasting for years. I started practicing fasting when I was a college student. That's right. I used to listen to what we had then, which were called cassette tapes. Have you ever heard of them? And I remember hearing one sermon on the subject of fasting my entire life. And I hardly ever hear it preached on even today. And that sermon that I heard was on the subject of fasting, and I did not know anything about it, how I needed to do it, but I began to do it. And I began to obey what God's Word was teaching me to do. You say, do you remember who preached that sermon? Yes, I do. In fact, that man's son is on this staff. That's right. Jonathan Beasley. It was his dad, Manly Sr., that preached that sermon. And I began to practice it, and I began to mobilize toward it. And as I began to pastor small churches, and I began to grow in my understanding, I mean, I've done a lot in that realm. And I can tell you, I say all that to you for one reason. I want you to know I am a believer in what I'm saying today. I'm not working up a fast for y'all, all right? God has burned this principle in my life deeply. In fact, I wrote about it in a simple booklet back, I think it was in 1995. It exploded. I was approached in 96 to write a book about it, which came out in 1997, before some of you were born. That is correct. Go ahead and make me feel that way. All right. But we had books then. And we had bookstores then. And then I was asked to update that book in 2010. And they told me, they said, you don't have to spend a lot of time on it. Just update a few illustrations and that way it can go. Because it was living on the market after all those years. Well, once I got into it, and those of you who know me know I'm a little perfectionist oriented somewhat, to say the least. And I rewrote about 90% of the book. So pretty much was a new book. And then after I finished my writing, my devotional book last January, February, and March, the publisher said, listen, man, you're on a roll. Why don't you write a brand new book on prayer and fasting since you have not written about it after all these years? And so in 2025, that book will come out. It will be called The Supernatural Power of Prayer and Fasting, 12 Ways God Will Change Your Life. So I'm telling you, I believe in what I'm talking about. I believe in it deeply. And it will shape your life. It will challenge your life. There's no doubt about it. But just as there are days of feasting, there may be a day in your future that God may want you to fast. Many people ask, how much does the Bible talk about fasting? It's a tremendous question, by the way. And when that new book comes out, one of the appendices is all the list of the scriptures of fast or fasting in the Bible. And they're all relating to not eating. How many are there? Well, there are 57 passages of Scripture where the word fast or fasting is used. And in those 57 verses, it occurs 69 times in those verses. Now, I just want to make it clear. God would only have to say that once to get our attention. But for us to say, well, we don't know much about it, well, we need to read the Bible and we need to preach the Bible. You see, prayer and fasting, they are not alone. They go together. Are you with me? In other words, God's not only given you the weapon of prayer, and it is a weapon, but God has given you the weapon of fasting along the way. Because fasting is like praying upon the Scripture. It ascends everything to a new level in your life. So when you come before the Lord and you fast and pray, and some of you who have done this through the years, you know what you become aware of, and I don't understand it. It is that supernatural thing that you don't understand. I don't understand it. But God reveals His holiness to you like you weren't seeing it before you started fasting. And there's only one problem with having God's holiness revealed to you. That holiness shines upon your life and it unveils everything in your life that isn't pleasing to God. And you see your exceeding sinfulness before the Lord. And in that, it is deeply humbling. But God uses it to move you to repent, to change, to make some decisions that you maybe have never made before in your life. So in these three verses of Scripture that we're going to talk about this morning, I want to show you two major movements in these Scriptures. All right? Are you ready? The first one is God's open invitation. God's open invitation. Now, you just cannot see that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. You really have to go all the way back up to Matthew 6, verse 1 and following to see it. And so, for just a little lesson about interpreting the Bible, when we look at three verses like this, we have to interpret it in the context of the chapter. Are you with me? And then you interpret it within the context of the section of the book and the New Testament and then the Bible. Okay? That's why it's a great book. All right? You'll never preach it all. It's an amazing book. The Apostle John said, if we had all the volumes about Jesus, we could fill the earth and more. That's how great Jesus is. Well, here we hear about God's open invitation. Let me illustrate. There are three different passages I'm going to mention. I'm not going to read them, but I reference them here on the graphic so you can write them down in case you're taking notes. For example, God gives an open invitation when Jesus said, when you give. All right? That's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2 through 4. God gives an open invitation for us when Jesus said, when you pray, chapter 6, verse 5 through 9, and then He taught us in what we would call the model prayer that ended last week in the message that was preached. But now, even though there are principles that coincide with it, we hear Jesus going deeper here in verse 16 through 18. And He says not only when you give, when you pray, but when you fast. That's an open invitation. You say, well, what do you mean, Ron? I'll tell you what. Look, God is openly inviting you to give. The more you give, the more you receive. God will bless you when you give. You cannot outgive God, by the way. Just try. When you pray, you can go to God anytime, anywhere, about anything. Amen. And when you fast, that's a big invitation. Why do we do that? Because God is inviting you to come and experience Him. Well, when you read this phrase in verse 16 through 18. And Jesus says, if you look at verse 16, he says, whenever you fast. And then if you look in verse 17, he says, when you fast. And then when you look in verse 18, he says, so that you're fasting. Anytime you see that word fasting in that specific passage, here's what it means: not eat. So don't pretty it up. Not eat. Jesus said, whenever you not eat, whenever I have led you not to eat, he's going to tell us how not to do it, and he's going to tell us how to do it. So there's a right way and there's a wrong way. Now, I believe at times another little interpretation principle that is always healthy to understand when you look at the scripture is that when you know clearly what Jesus has said, I think it's also important at times to make clear to people what Jesus did not say. You know, sometimes you just need to make it clear. Now, don't do this, but this is what I want you to do. Well, what did Jesus not say? Well, let me point it out to you. Jesus did not say, if you give, if you pray, and if you fast. That's not what he said. So don't say he said that. But what did he say? When you give, I want you to do it this way. And don't do it this way. And when you pray, I want you to do it this way, and don't you do it this way. And when you fast, I want you to do it this way, and don't do it that way. All right? So that's what Jesus is saying. It is a big invitation he gives to us. You say, well, Ronnie, if it's so important, why have we not heard about much about fasting? I'll tell you why. Because you have an enemy who wants to destroy your life, and he is committed to keeping you so distracted that you'll never pursue God with depth and consistency in your life. And that enemy wants to literally distract you anytime you pray. You know why it's hard to pray? You know why? Why it's not hard to pray? Because it's hard. It's hard to stay focused in prayer, right? Why is that? Next time you deal with that, you say, man, I don't understand. I can't get focused. That's the enemy. He don't want you to focus. So put your phone down and don't answer it. You're with God. You don't need to hear from anybody else. He's in control. And the same thing when we fast. When we fast, listen, it's hard at times. Yes, it is hard at times. But the reason it's hard is not because the discipline is hard. It is that God is asking you to give up the one thing in your life that is normal and natural so that you might be able to have a bigger goal, a more consistency about whatever it is, and you focus on God doing something great in your life. So right here in the text, we have to understand the enemy is real. Now, Jesus warns us in verse 16, if you missed it, not to be like the hypocrites. Now, the hypocrites, who were they? Well, they were people who were impersonators, or they were actors. In fact, the word here has to do with the old Greek theater where they would hold up various masks, and that's how they would play various parts. Are you with me? That's what he would say that the Pharisees were doing. They were putting on this mask that they were so suffering because of their fasting. And Jesus said, don't do that. And those of you who want everybody to know that they have fasted, Jesus said what? You're going to have your reward. So Jesus told them, clean yourself up when you're fasting. Yes, you may have gone a day without food, but don't look like it. Don't mope around and act like the world's coming to an end. No. Jesus said, no, you clean yourself up and you live with hope because God is with you. And then Jesus tells us also that God does not hear them when they do that. But the open invitation is clear and it's powerful. And I want you to notice this today. The open invitation from God is this: pray. I want all of you to know, listen today, if you don't get anything else, pray. God is calling you to pray. All right? Well, I don't want to bother him. He's busy. Oh, come on. He can handle it. He's God. He's not like you and me. And I said it quick a while ago, but I'm going to say it slower now. You can go to God anytime, anywhere, about anything, wherever you are. But also fast. And there are those times that you pray and fast, the scripture says. And prayer and fasting, I want you to notice this real quickly, and I'm going to go straight through it real fast. Prayer and fasting is God's gateway to supernatural power. That's what it is. It's God's gateway to supernatural power. It's God's gateway to walk humbly before God. When you fast and pray, you are humbling yourself before the Lord. In fact, I could do a lesson this morning, a message on the correlation in the Old and the New Testament between humbling ourselves before God and fasting and pray, because it's all over the scripture when it talks about prayer and fasting. So it's a time when we humble ourselves before God. But also prayer and fasting is a gateway. I love to talk about this because this is where we need to get our eyes to. It's a gateway to change your perspective and your life and your future. You see, one of the reasons when you pray and you fast is not simply to go to God and jump through some hoop in your mind in order to get something that you may think God wants you to have or you hope he wants you to have. That's not what it's about. God will change you and your mind and your mindset when you pray and fast. In other words, he'll convince you so much that you have given it to him, it doesn't matter whether he answers it the way you thought or you wanted him to initially. And if you haven't thought about this in a while, you need to thank God for not answering every prayer you pray the way you want him to answer it. And for whatever it's worth, I've had to remind myself this about, I don't know, I think I'm 36 right now, and I mean, probably at least 5,000 times. God knows what's best for me, even when I don't know what's best for myself. He's my Father. And by the way, he's a good, good Father. Can I get an amen? That's what he is. So, the first big movement is this. So when you need spiritual power, pray and fast. When you need God's perspective, pray and fast. James 4:8 says it this way, come to close to God and he will come close to you. So the first big movement is God's open invitation to all of us. Isn't that wonderful? Open invitation. But then God gives us the pathway to supernatural power. What's the pathway? Now, what I'm about to talk about, maybe some of you maybe never thought about, maybe you haven't heard of, but and I'm choosing the word because it's in the text. You see, God's pathway is a process, and he wants you to live on this process day by day and not by night. But here's the first thing in that pathway, having a secret experience with God. That's what prayer and fasting is. It's a secret experience with God. You say, well, that's weird. No, it's not weird. The hypocrites are rebuked because they wanted everyone to notice them, that they were doing what they thought they were to do, which was fast. God says no. If you will look in chapter 6, verse 1, all the way through 18, he will tell you, when you pray, I want you to go into a private and a secret place, close the door behind you. And what is he saying? I want you. I want all of your focus. I want you and me and nobody else. Are y'all with me, folks? That's what he wants. And what a tremendous thing it is. He wants to give us a personal experience with him. It's private and it's secret. I'm convinced, and I've become more convinced in the last 4 weeks of my life, that one of the reasons people do not feel at times those kind of things and the need for it is they just don't have a consistent devotional life. They don't have a consistent time with God. I mean, Cross Church is a church that teaches you the importance of being with the Lord every day, a time to read your Bible, a time to pray. And we've taught that for decades, and I believe it, and the pastors here believe it. But we also, at times, may be a little insensitive to the challenges that people face in their schedules and the ability to work through that and mature in those matters. You know, since my devotional book came out, which is right here called Day by Day and Night by Night, I have learned this thing that people have taught me from all over the country that have reached out to me about purchasing this book and following it and using it. Whether it's a couple, whether it's a younger person or an older person, whether it's a marriage or people are part of a team doing it together, here's what I've learned. They've struggled with consistency. And so you ask them, why, what drew you to it? I'll tell you, because all I got to do is get up every day and notice the date, and all of a sudden there's a title and there's a verse. There's an explanation, then an application, and a prayer. All that in 3 to 5 minutes. I can do 3 to 5 minutes if I don't have to think. Now listen, my point is, you got to create consistency in your devotional life. And sometimes if you're walking with the Lord for years and years, for example, man, I read through the Bible every year at least once. I've done it for over 30 years. But I still read, even to this day. This morning I read it. I read Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest. It's a devotional thing. I've read it for over a decade every day. It's the same thing every year, but every year it looks like brand new. Isn't that amazing? That's what God does. And I'm now reading this as well. The point is, sometimes it's a supplement, but sometimes it's a guide. It's the actuality of beginning your walk with Christ. Everybody needs help in walking with Jesus. Isn't that right? We need help, and that comes through consistency. Now, there is a second matter here today, and that is God's pathway to supernatural power leads us to a secret position before the Lord. What does this mean, the secret position before the Lord? Well, I think the clearest way to say it is this. It's you being with God and God being with you alone. Let me say it this way. Maybe you've never heard this. Maybe you have. It's not some great insight, but I just want to make it clear, okay? You cannot delegate your personal walk with Christ to your spouse, to someone else, your pastor, or somebody that's a mentor to you. You have to own your own personal devotion with the Lord. And that's why we need help. And that's why we need to understand that God is calling us aside to be alone with Him. And this is a secret experience, but also a secret position before the Lord, where you come alone before God, open before God, humble before God, honest before God. Let me say it this way. I'm going to show you a couple of graphics. And I want you to notice them. I want you to really zero in on it. Because it's really, really important. In prayer and fasting, there are no CEOs, no pastors, no doctors, no presidents, no titles, and no positions. Now, what am I saying? What am I saying? When you come to God in prayer and fasting, you don't have to notify God, hey, God, you know I run this company out here. It's like God would tell you, bro, you are nothing, and I'm the one that gave you what you have. I already know what you do. So none of that matters. It's not about, I got to be somebody else, or I got to get up to this level. No, 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 no. Enough is enough of that. No way. Let me take it to a different level. In prayer and fasting, it is the experience with no interruptions, no labels, and no accusations. Nothing, and I mean nothing. You know what? Christians, many times, those who follow Christ, they really struggle because they feel guilty all the time. And the enemy comes and accuses us of this and this and this. You're not worthy to speak to God. You did this, or you did that, or you did this, or you have people out here in the world pointing at you, telling you how bad you are. Okay? I just want to say to you, listen carefully. Those who are in Christ Jesus are under no condemnation. You have been set free if you know Jesus Christ in your life. And when you go to prayer, the kind of stuff I'm talking about, there are no accusations, God accepts you. There's no labels, God accepts you. And God is with you. And then there is a secret position before the Lord. That's one of those pathway matters, that process matters. It's an experience, it's a position, but it's also a posture. What do you mean, Ron? Well, you know, the Bible tells us there are many ways we come to God in prayer. Maybe you've never thought about these. But the Bible talks about sitting before the Lord. All right? I like to sit before the Lord when I read the scripture. Oh, I've also knelt before the Lord when I've read the scripture. We can also stand before the Lord. So sitting and kneeling and standing are all appropriate when we pray. Oh, I've done this a lot. Walk and pray. One of the reasons we need to walk sometimes is that we can keep our focus walking while we're praying. All right? We can also face down before God in prayer. The point is not you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way. The point is this. God wants you before Him. Whether you are sitting, whether you are kneeling, whether you are with your face to the ground, or you are at the end of yourself and you are pleading with God to do something in your life in a way like you've never had before. It all comes down to this. If you're taking notes, be sure you write this one down. James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. If you will take care of the depth of your walk, God takes care of the breadth of your influence. You go deep with Him, and there is no telling what God will do with you. Who modeled this? Jesus. He was the Son of God. And He lowered Himself and He became obedient to death. And what did Philippians 2 tell us? Even death on the cross, the most cruel, mean death in the Roman world. But then God raised Him up and exalted Him and gave Him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess, those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. It all starts with humbling ourselves. So this morning, if there's never been a time, a day, a place where you have knowingly and willingly given your life to Jesus Christ. An experience you had with God, where you know Christ came into your life. He took away all your sin and he promised you heaven when you die. I hope that you will come this morning and give your life to Jesus Christ. If you're watching on the web, would you please right now email us, let us know. We want to help you understand and know Jesus Christ personally. We will have pastors at the end of each aisle today, and I want to urge you, as these pastors and Christian leaders come in a moment, if you've never given your life to Christ, come. Maybe you're in this room today and you have a burden on your heart. You received news this week that, boy, you sure need somebody to pray for you. Or you have a major decision coming up in your life. And while today's message may not be appropriate now to activate this week, there may be a time, but we have to be willing, right? Lord, I want to be willing that I will go to God anytime, anywhere, about anything, and will do it any way He wants me to do it. So I pray that you will come. Oh, the big old invitation today is, Jesus says, when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. Let's come to Him today, all right? Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we pray in the powerful and strong name of Jesus as our singers come and they begin to sing even while I pray. I pray the Holy Spirit will come upon this place. There are people here who are walking with and through deep discouragement, enormous physical challenges. Some are in need of a job. Some have given up. Maybe they aren't sure whether they should pray about something. And sometimes, Lord, we are so weak, we don't know what to pray. But I pray for all those people today that they would come and let us pray for them. These Christian leaders here at the front are really willing to pray for them. And for those, Lord, who have never come to Christ, may they come today. If there's someone today that you're calling into the ministry of the gospel or to preach the gospel to the world or to go be a missionary, I pray they will come and they will begin that journey of prayer with one of our Christian leaders here today. Whatever the need, you are with us. You make a way when there is no other way. And we declare in Jesus' name, God will make a way. So do it in people's hearts even right now, this morning.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.